Psalm chapter 47, we're going to read the 9 verses that compile this great chapter. And the thought this morning is proper praise. Proper praise. The Bible says, "O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible, he is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with a shout, the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." And then I circled the word "is" and drew a line and wrote down there, "and will be." He is and will be greatly exalted. Praise God for Jesus. We mentioned several things last week about praise. And the whole text in verse number chapter 47 is about praise. And there's so very much to cover on this subject that I felt led of the Lord to have a do-over. And maybe it would help us to understand a little bit better, I think, the wonderful significance and importance of the subject of proper praise. I want you to take your Bible and slip over to the last chapter of the book of Psalms. That would be Psalms chapter 150. It's interesting that Psalms is the middle chapter in your Bible. And 150 is the last chapter in the longest book, the most chapters in all of any book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. So here in the very middle of things, at the last of this middle chapter, this middle book, God is going to talk to us about the subject of praise. Notice with me, if you will, in verse number 1 of Psalms 150, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Now in these 12 verses in Psalms 150, praise is mentioned 13 times. It kind of scared me just a little bit when I saw the number 13 there, because in the Bible, the number 13 speaks of confusion. And then I got to thinking about that and praying about it and knowing that God didn't make a mistake in the Bible, I knew there was a reason that God in this one chapter had mentioned praise 13 times. And I believe that there are some sad misunderstandings about praising the Lord. I believe that the Lord is calling our attention to the fact that there is so much confusion in the life of believers over this very important subject. In verse number 6 of Psalms 150, the Bible says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord." Again, the last chapter of the last verse of the last chapter of the middle book of the Bible. And God talks about the subject of praise in such a way that we're led to understand, after we've studied the Bible a little bit, that there can be some confusion about this wonderful thing called praise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse number 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion." If there is confusion around, we know that God is not the author of it. And if he's not the author of it, then we know who is. And we ought to work with the Lord to take care of confusion whenever it comes up. The Bible says that "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. And so God doesn't want things to be confusing. He wants things to work together to bring peace in the churches of the saints. Now, in our text back in Psalms 47, we find at least two things that are told us positively about praising the Lord. First off, he tells us that we're to praise him with a shout of triumph. We mentioned that last week. We'll not dwell on that long. The world already has much to be discouraged about, disappointed about, completely disgusted about, and they don't need God's people all the time talking about their defeats. We live in a day when it's defeatism. If you're not being defeated by something, you're not in style. You're not modern. You're not in the in-group. You're not with the hip crowd if you can't open your mouth and complain about something where someone has let you down, has disappointed you, has disgusted you, has turned you down. The Bible says that we're to praise God with a shout of triumph. I'm here to tell you today that he who laid his life down and took it back up again 72 hours later is able to meet your needs. Amen. And we today need to shout out a shout of triumph. And then the Bible says that we're supposed to praise with understanding. And there's some things we need to understand. First off, the Bible says when it comes to praising, everything that has breath is to praise the Lord. How many of you have breath? Call the ambulance. Some people aren't breathing. We all have breath. And the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, praise is based, listen, here's what praise is based on. Praise is based on your appraisal of something. When something is of great value to you, you will speak of it in high fashion. You'll speak of it in high tone. You'll speak of it in complimentary ways. You will praise things that you put a high appraisal on. When you have a low appraisal of something, you will do anything to keep from talking about it. But when you have a high appraisal, then you'll speak about the product. People don't shout about the product that doesn't do what it claims to do. You don't praise something worth less than what you thought it was at first. But when you have something and all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, this is worth more than I ever thought it was, all of a sudden there's this attitude about life even changes. When the appraisal goes up, the praise comes forth. I've told this story before, but I was in Johnson, Kansas pastoring. We had a garage sale, my wife and I. And somebody stopped by our garage sale and said, hey, there's another garage sale in town. And I said, really? They said, yeah, how about that? Two of them in Johnson, Kansas on the same weekend. And so I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go see what's over in the other garage sale. So I left and went over, looked through some things, didn't see anything I wanted. On the way out, I looked up on a bookshelf and I saw a book and it said, the first of an anticipated series about the American quarter horse. And so I took it off the shelf. It was a paperback book. I thumbed through it a little bit, said, this will be interesting, something for me to read at my garage sale. So I took it, bought it for a quarter or whatever, and went back over to the garage sale. And that's when I really saw that it was the first of an anticipated series. I remembered seeing some other books like it, except they were hardbound. So I went back over and I bought the entire set, and I had about $3 or $4 in everything. Well, I began to wonder, what is this worth? And so I talked to some people. They said, well, you need to advertise it in the Quarter Horse Association magazine. It's out of Amarillo, Texas. And I did some phone calls, made some arrangements to advertise it there. And before that issue of the magazine was printed, a young man from Michigan called me and said, I understand you have this series of books. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, what do you want for them? Well, I'm thinking, man, I got about $2 invested in these whole things. What do I say? If I say too much, he's going to hang up. If I say too little, I'll hang up. And I said, I need $500. And $50 plus shipping, $5. $555. He said, what's wrong with them? And I got sick. And as we visited for a little bit, I had witnessed to him, talked to him about the Lord and so forth. And and said, now listen, they're really yours, but I said, just out of curiosity, what are they worth? He said, there's only one other set anywhere in the world that I can find that's for sale. And he said, I've got to have a set of them. And the set that's for sale is all tore up. They're all messed up. They're not really whole. And he said, they're asking $2,500 for those. And I wanted to say, hello, hello. Now, let me ask you. When I hung up the phone, do you think that I was talking about those books the same way I did when I started talking about all that conversation? The value of them hadn't increased at all. But the appraisal that I had been given for those books caused me to be very thankful, to be very energetic, to be very, very glad and happy that I had stopped by that garage sale and bought those books. I can tell you another story, it's a long one, but I bought some pictures one time, paid $20 at a garage sale, and still have some of those pictures that I've already sold over $4,000 worth of pictures off that $20 buy. You think I get happy when I talk about the King Ranch in Texas? Oh, yes, I do. When Brother Nez was here, I showed him a picture of some pictures that I have. He said, oh, Brother Sutton, he said, I don't know that artist, but he said, I'll do some checking on the reservation. He said, somebody I know will know those. And he said, those pictures are very valuable. He said, don't let those get out of your hands without you knowing where they're going. I like those pictures. All of a sudden, those pictures became much more important to me than they were before. Why? Because of the appraisal. You know the reason we don't praise the Lord Jesus like we ought to? It's because we don't sit down once in a while and get an appraisal of what we actually have in Christ Jesus. Do you know that if you have Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, you cannot under any circumstances go to hell? Do you know that if you have Jesus Christ in your life, that though things might be rough between now and death, that after death you're going to be in a place called heaven? Do you know that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a friend that's promised to never leave you, never forsake you. He's promised to stick closer to you than a brother. Listen, when you get to appraising what you have in Christ Jesus, He'll put a shout in your heart. Amen. Sometimes we're so kept back by tradition and kept back by former policies in our own life that sometimes we don't do the shouting that we ought to do. We don't do the embracing of God's goodness to us that we should do. What's Jesus really worth to you today? It's measured. You measure the value of Jesus, listen, by the praising in your life. That's a pretty tough pill, isn't it? But it's absolutely the truth. And those who have experienced salvation are even more responsible. If the Bible says, and it does, that whatsoever hath breath, praise the Lord, how much more we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, how much more we are responsible to praise Him. Now, we're not to praise Him. If we don't praise Him, we've cheated Him out of a glory that belongs to Him. If we don't praise Him, we've cheated ourselves out of the blessing that God wants to give to us for praising Him. And so it just makes sense that we ought to praise Him. But let me say to you this. Praise can be imitation, and praise can be imitated. No one likes a fake. A fake will turn off a lot of people. You know, if a man falls in love with a young lady, he brings to her this little box. He pulls this box out of his pocket, little square box, you know, hinged box, and her heart starts doing the pitter-patter. I wonder what would happen if he opened it up and there was a fish fly in there or a fishing lure. But if he opens it up and here's this big rock on this gold ring, and she goes, wow! What do you suppose would happen if he slipped that on her finger and asked her to marry him? She said she would. And she goes, she's out shopping one day and she passes by this jewelry store, and she looks at her ring and looks at the jewelry store and says, I wonder what it's worth. And so she walks in, she says to the man, says, can I help you? He said, Well, I don't know if you do this or not, but he says, I'd just like to know what my engagement ring's worth. He said, well, let me see it. And he puts it over there. She puts her hand over there. And he said, you want me? She said, no, I'm not going to take it off. No. What's it worth, do you think? So he puts his spectacle on, you know, his eyepiece, and he looks at it. And he smiles real big, and she says, well, what's it worth? He says, oh, I don't think you really want to know. And she says, oh, yes. That's the reason I asked. Well, what's it worth? And he says, what is any zirconium worth that's that size? And she says, you mean it's not a diamond? He said, did he say it was a diamond? Well, no. But I thought it was a diamond. He said, well, it's what we call a fake diamond. How many of you remember Brother Bruce Baxter? He and I were at an auction together one time. And he goes, psst, pastor, psst, look at this. And he picked up a crucifix. It was about this big. About like that. And on the back of it, it said 14K. Well, 14 karat gold piece that big would be worth some money. And I kept thinking, oh, Brother Baxter, put that down and go away. Let me have it. So he bought it for almost nothing. The next time I saw Brother Baxter, he said, Pastor, you still want that cross, that crucifix? I said, what's going on? He said, it's brass. Someone stamped on the back 14K. I guess it's 14 kiddos. I don't know. But it wasn't worth what he thought it was worth. And we need to understand that nobody, but nobody, likes a fake. And so many times today, the things that are going on and calling them praise, listen, sometimes people are praising from an empty riverbed. They're praising for things that haven't happened, nor will they ever, because they're praising without a thing called faith. Proper praise. Listen to this. In my search for a real good church, I found a certain praiser. He liked to shout and run about, but by work he was a gazer. Hallelujah, praise the Lord were words he often used, but when asked to come to work, he always would refuse. He seemed to shout mostly when he thought someone was looking, but invited to a worker's day, he would soon be booking. He jumped real high, this shouting guy. He never would sit still, but he never did a lick of work. I doubt he ever will. Visitors would roll their eyes, completely dismayed. The speed by which they cleared the room said they were afraid. Was the Spirit happy? Was Jesus glorified? Was this man the same at home as he was inside? I asked the Lord for answers. I searched all through the book. I wondered, does a man of faith have a certain look? The answer finally found me. I praise Christ's holy name. When we walk with Jesus, we'll always be the same. To shout in church and say amen, I like to hear it done. If all the rest of that one's time, they're speaking of God's Son. If it's not the real deal, then shouting's just baloney. And it won't take but just a little bit to spot religious phony. We need to understand today that proper praise is the same outside the building as it is inside the building. And when men curse and cuss outside the building and shout hallelujah inside the building, it's an abomination. It's an aggravation to God. It hurts the work of God. When men live like a dog outside the building and praise God inside the building, it's a bad day and in the service of the Lord. Well, as we look at this portion of Scripture, there's some things that come to mind. First off, we note some things from our text about, first off, whom we're supposed to praise. The Bible tells us in verse number 2 that we're supposed to praise the great King. Could I tell you today that our God is a great King? In fact, there has never been a greater king than our God. He is the great King. In verse number 6, he says he's our King. The song, my very favorite song in all the world, is Now I Belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. And this, that makes him my King. That makes him my king. He's our king. And let me tell you, Jesus never became anybody's king by chance. He becomes your king by choice. When the children sing the song, and I think we ought to sing it more in adult services, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. You see, he becomes our king by our choice, not by chance. There's not a lottery system somewhere where Jesus spins a wheel or reaches into a hat, pulls out a name and says, okay, John Doe gets to be, I choose him. No, it's not that way. It's when we choose Jesus Christ, we decide to give him our sin and take his righteousness that we become born again. We believe that he died, that he rose again. We believe that he lives today and he's able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by him. And so we need to understand he's our king by choice, not chance. And then in verse number 7, he's called the king. The is the article meaning one. He is the only one. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 7 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Mark 12 and verse number 32 says, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God and there is none other but he. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we need to understand who it is that we're praising. Secondly, we need to understand why to praise him. In verse number 2, the Bible says, for the Lord Most High is terrible. The word for in our understanding means because. God says, I want to give you a reason. God is terrible. And that word terrible is not a meaning that he's wicked or evil or bad in any way. It means that he's to be feared. He's to be respected. We ought to look at God and stand in awe of him and just be amazed that he'd even let us look at him. Do you remember what happened to the Israelites? They were moving the ark of God, and the cart that they had him on, because they weren't doing God's work God's way. The ark rocked a little bit, and a man just reached up and put his hand on the ark of the covenant to steady it so it wouldn't fall off the cart, and God killed him. And then the ark ended up in the hands of the Philistines, and they opened up the cart and opened up the ark and looked inside, and God killed them, gave them all kinds of diseases. Listen, that we can stand in the front of God, the Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe. We ought to stand in awe. We ought to be amazed that he lets us look upon him, that he allows us to talk about him and talk to him. He said, because he's a terrible God. And then he says, because he's our king. Again, it speaks of ownership. It speaks of belonging. It speaks of location. He's our king of all the earth. In verse number 9, he says, because the shields of the earth belong to God. The shields of the earth. The shield speaks of protection. Could I say that all the shields belong to God? Isn't that not what he says here? He says in verse number 9, the princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. The shields, those things for protection, health shields belong to God. Financial shields belong to God. Marital shields belong to God. Emotional shields belong to God. Spiritual shields belong to God. The Bible says in our text, it says, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. And there's no exception there. Every shield in the world belongs to God. And for that reason, we ought to praise him. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1, I believe that's the first time you find the word shields mentioned in your King James Bible. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Today, if you know the Lord Jesus, you have a shield available to you that the world doesn't know anything about. Why to praise him? And then how to praise him? How are we supposed to praise the Lord? In verse number 1, he said, you can clap your hands. Verse number 2, he says you can shout. Get down into the text a little ways further, it says you can sing. But let me tell you what. We need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. Every day we ought to be the same. Isn't that what Jesus is? Isn't Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Remember, the Bible says, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. I believe when the Lord looks down and he sees us acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, praising like Jesus, being like Jesus, I think it fills the heart of the Father with gladness, with a song. I believe it pleases him very much. Consistency praises the Lord. Consistency is like the Lord Jesus. Consistency wins every single time, someone said. It's not what you do here and there once in a blue moon. It's what you do day in and day out and year in and year out. Consistency builds self-trust as well as trust amongst others. Consistency, listen, consistency is a true test of substance. If you're not consistent, then you really don't believe it. When I was studying consistency, I ran across a man who said that every husband should spoil his wife with consistency. Another one said consistency is far more important than perfection. Consistency. What you do every day matters much more than what you do once in a while. Every day. Every day. Every day. Do I like amens during the service? I absolutely do. Does it bother me when people shout? It absolutely does not. Do I get excited when people raise their hands when a person's preaching or there's a song that really speaks to your heart? Doesn't bother me a whit. Unless I know that that person's not living that same way outside, then it aggravates me. It hurts. It turns the whole thing off. But when a person comes in and they sit down, they behave themselves godly, and they listen, they sing when it's time to sing, they drop their widow's mite even maybe in the offering when it comes by, they get up and shake hands with people, they introduce themselves to visitors, they tell visitors they're glad that they're here, they'll help people get to the car. They go out to the car sometimes to meet people. They call people and visit with them on the phone. They talk to their neighbors about the Lord Jesus. Their kids and their grandkids hear about the Lord Jesus all the time from their lives. When they shout hallelujah, even if it's just a whisper, glory to God, hallelujah. There's something rewarding about that because it's genuine. And it's consistent. And it's not zirconium. It's not polished brass. It's the real deal. And that's what God's looking for. You see, when the Lord Jesus saved us, He, the Father, and the Holy Ghost had a goal in mind for you and for me. And that is that they wanted us who trusted Christ to be like Him. Now, one of these days, we're going to see the Lord Jesus in the rapture. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be made exactly like He is and go into eternity from there, and things are going to be wonderful. But between now and then, the Lord Jesus wants to work in our lives. He wants to knock off the rough edges. He wants to polish us. He wants to heat us up enough that He can skim the dross off of our life. He wants to hammer us into shape. And the shape He's hammering us into is the shape of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says to us, the Father says, my job is so much easier when you're consistent. Consistency. 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 It pays off in ways that we'll never know until we stand in front of the Lord Jesus. So every day, because we're consistent, we're in the right place at the right time. We're doing the right thing with the right attitude. We're consistent. And the Lord Jesus polishes us up a little more. Polishes us up a little more. Polishes us up a little more. And little by little, we begin to take on the appearance, the attitude, the actions, the demeanor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, a shout is formed in our heart. And what we do with that is up to us. But I really believe there's power in proper praise. Improper praise, but proper praise gives power. Not fleshly power, not emotional power, but godly power when it's proper praise. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.